The title of my talk tonight is Not Knowing. That's about all I remember. The content of these talks really work on us also. So let's see what happens. So we need to be honest about what we don't know for our inquiry and our explorations to really open. When we assume we know, we believe we know, that will be in the way of finding out. Will be in the way of our explorations. So you might have noticed it already in, for example, in your own process. Something comes up and your mind immediately says, oh yeah, I know that. Stops the inquiry immediately. Yeah. As if the fact that your mind knows it or thinks it knows it stops actually your openness to your own experience. So the capacity to not know is very important in our work. Or actually the combination of the willingness and the honesty to allow not knowing in combination with more of a heartfelt desire, I would love to know. I don't know, and I would love to know. The combination of I don't know and I would love to know fuels our inquiry, fuels our exploration. When we use the word knowledge, it's good maybe to talk about the word itself first. Knowledge is used in many different ways. For example, we use knowledge as information. I have information. For example, I know my way in Bremen. That's kind of you have information, you have knowledge about it. Or we also use it for describing a skill, like I know how to fly an airplane. Yeah? It means that it's not just that you have information, you actually have the skill. Yeah? If you only have the information, that would be it would be troubling. So you have knowledge, but the knowledge is not just the data. The knowledge actually has also the skill to it. You know how to fly, not just you read a book about it. And then there is a third understanding of what knowledge means, and that's the understanding we have, we want to use in our work, which is also called direct knowledge. And direct knowledge is related to our experience, something that you know in your experience, which is not an acquired skill. It's not information that you read somewhere, but it is the direct perception and the knowing of it in the now. And when we inquire, we want to be open to not knowing and loving to know, but not knowing precedes true, fresh knowing. Does that make sense? So we first need to not know before we can freshly know in the moment. And our mind has many assumptions about what we know. Mind says, well, it knows what we should experience. For example, there could be an assumption that a sensual experience means that I feel blissful. Mind can think that. Has read spiritual books or listened to Tejo said, all spiritual experiences feel good. I don't feel good. The mind takes all kinds of information and actually blocks us from being open to the now. And there's many ways that the mind is capable of blocking our openness. It's related to our head center. For example, worrying is a good way to block not knowing. Worrying is a specific kind of fear-oriented mental activity that closes our head center very effectively. When you're worried, you keep having fear thoughts, and you're not really curious, you're not really exploring, you're worrying. I'm worried. You can even see it almost, if you look at your forehead when you're worried, you kind of close your third eye. I'm really worried about something. Yeah, so worrying is one of the ways that our certain ego activity, you could say, that stops our not knowing. It stops our openness to not know and find out. Instead of worrying, you could say, I'm afraid. What actually am I afraid of? And what kind of fear is it? Well, it's actually mostly in my heart. I feel there is a fear in my heart, and I don't know what happened. Why am I suddenly afraid? And you start exploring and sensing instead of worrying. Have you noticed that no amount of worrying leads to relaxation? It's good to know that. It's kind of a dead-end street. Another mental activity that closes off our not knowing, our openness of mind, is doubting. Doubting. Doubting, too, is ego's attempt of not knowing. But not knowing is actually an openness where there is a more of a question mark there, of an opening, whereas doubting is actually a repetitive mental activity that closes our head center. Yeah, and it can even take further forms of sarcasm or kind of cynicism, all kinds of qualities of superego, all mental activity that closes our head center. And often cynicism and sarcasm and doubt do have a discriminating awareness. The head center is still capable of being sharp, but what is missing is the love for the truth of the heart. It is kind of a punishing kind of sharpness. It's not really interested in the truth. It's mostly interested in being right and making sure that the other knows that he's wrong. It's not a free interest in what is true. So that too closes off our inquiry. If you want to find out what is true and your underlying motivation is to show the other that he's wrong, then it's not open. It's not open. Have you noticed that if you watch your superego, that's actually a very remarkable thing about the superego. It never doubts itself. It's very certain of itself. Very remarkable, never doubts itself. So true nature is always mysterious. What does that mean? It means that you can't fix it in a concept. You can't say, okay, this is it. Because it's alive. It lives in the now and it's always in a flow. It's always alive. So when we say we love the truth, or the love that is in our heart for finding out what is true, truth might not even be the right word. Maybe the best word would be truing, because it keeps moving. True nature is truing. I just made that up. Things happen. It's truing. Yeah. It's because truth seems to be something fixed, seems to refer to something that's static. And truth is not static. It's truing. Like a tree is not really a tree, it's treeing. It's alive. Yeah? So, and we are human being. Yeah. So, in that sense, true nature is a mystery. It's a mystery that you can't really fix with your mind. And even if you experience something that is true, that is real in the moment, it can become ordinary knowledge. Like you have a real experience and then the mind turns it into a concept. If you notice that, the mind does that. And then you end up with something that was originally true, but it becomes a static, rigid concept. It's not truing anymore. Have you heard of Lao Tse? Yeah, so he was a mystic. It's also a good word, a mystic. Somebody who is in contact with the mystery and is expressing the mystery. And he became a teacher. And his disciples always wanted him to give the teachings and to write down the teachings. And they couldn't record teachings at that time, and not yet. But he always refused. He always refused. And then at the point where he felt he was going to die, he, as they did in those days, he wanted to go to the mountains to die. So go on a journey to die. And then the person who was at the border happened to be his disciple. And the disciple told him, I'm not going to let you through unless you write down your teaching. And Lao would say he was really ready to go, to die. So there was only one thing. So he wrote the Tao Te Ching. And the Tao Te Ching starts with, he needed to start with this sentence. And he wrote, the Tao that can be written is not the Tao. So he wanted to make sure that people didn't take the map for the territory. The concepts, the map, that's not the real thing. It's just pointing to the real thing. But the concept is not true nature. True nature is not a thing. It's tremendously alive, and it's tremendously mysterious and in many dimensions that can be experienced, and we can use our mind to explore it. But as soon as we use our mind to make it into a teaching or a concept, it can continue to be in a good teaching, it can continue to be a pointer, but it's not the real thing, it's just a pointer. As they say, the map is not the territory. But it can be an invitation. It can be an invitation to open up and say, it's so important to not know and to That's why we here we inquire so much, and we want to do inquiries so that you learn to get excited about not knowing. That you start to feel like, oh, I can find out for myself. And it is really exciting because I found out so many new things that I didn't know. Not because I read them in a book or a teacher told me so, but I found them out in my own experience. It's very exciting to see it's true. We never know what we're going to experience. You might think you know what you're going to experience, but you never know. So there is a specific kind of knowing that is also important for us to talk about, which is believing. I talked about that already a little bit in the first Friday evening. So believing is kind of assuming you know something without knowing it. You think you know it, you believe you know it, but you actually don't. And because you believe you know it, you're not exploring it anymore. You're not finding out for yourself. And there's many of those kinds of assumptions of what we believe we know. We believe that we know what it is to be a human being. We believe that we know what it is, what a person is. Or we believe we know what love is. Or we believe we know our partner. And it's actually a little bit insulting to say you know somebody. Oh, I know him. Yeah, oh yeah, I know him. Know what he's going to do. Yeah. So in relationship, to not know is the most intimate. To really meet somebody with an open mind, an open heart, is the most intimate. Not knowing creates intimacy. And of course, you can know somebody's patterns of behavior in their ego structure, but the more you know that that's only a very small part of who we are, you start to see that you don't know somebody. There's so much more you don't know about them. Not knowing yourself is also the most intimate. Not assuming you know yourself. To believe you know yourself is also not very respectful. How would it be to consider that what you know of yourself is only 2% of what you are? How would you ever get to the other 89, 98? My math brain doesn't work when I teach. Yes, so to assume that you know and to believe that you know stops inquiry. So just get a sense of what it would, how it affects you if you let it be true that you don't know yourself. Like, feel the intimacy or the interest that could open. Maybe so many things you don't know about yourself, about your depth, about how you are connected to other people, and about your depth, your essence. What does it do to you when you consider you don't know yourself? What kind of effect does that have? Allowing the not knowing. And that's actually what fueled the start of the diamond approach, these three people that got together and said, let's explore together. Let's not be knowledgeable, but let's be adventurous. Let's explore. Let's find out. Let's not necessarily believe. What it says in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. What's written in the books might be a pointer, but we have to find out. Find out in our own experience, because you only know it when it's true in your own experience, in your own life. See, I said it all. It's quick. Oh, no, yeah, I see there. That's it. Oh, yeah, there's another specific kind of barrier to not knowing. I mentioned a few already. It's one that I didn't mention yet. Sometimes people are identified with not knowing. And then the not knowing is not an openness, but a dullness. Almost like you say, I don't know, automatically. Oh, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know anything, I don't know. So that kind of not knowing is more of a dullness that happens here, like as if you have a fog in your third eye. Yeah, it's kind of foggy there instead of clear and open. Yeah, and some people have a tendency to be identified with that kind of fog, like, I don't know anything. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. We need to explore for ourselves. And I have... Every inquiry is open-ended. I hope you... Got that? Yeah. Every inquiry is open-ended, and every inquiry needs us to stay in contact with our felt sense. It's important. Yeah. Every inquiry needs us to not strive for something, also when we have a direction in the inquiry. Yeah. To not strive, but to be open and to be informed by our curiosity. So we have three repeating questions tonight. And I want to say something about the repeating questions first. Sometimes it's like that if you get asked a repeating question, that the first answer that comes up, the fast answer, is the one from your mind. The mind hears questions and it likes to be smart, comes up immediately with a mental answer. Yeah? So if you know that your mind is fast like that, it comes up with a quick answer, take a breath. Sense your belly and feel what the answer is that arises from your belly, not the one from your mind. Yeah? So the first question is, what's right about believing you know? What's right about believing you know? So you ask the question, what's right about believing you know? What? The whole question confuses me. Thank you. What's right about believing you know? Yeah, I have a feeling that whatever I answer, it's wrong. Thank you. What's right about believing you know? Well, I find it very handy to know things. It would be very uncomfortable to not know things. Thank you. What's right about believing you know? Well, knowing has much more status than not knowing. Thank you. whatever arises. Yeah? And with these what is right questions, they are designed to bring out the unconscious stuff. Yeah? So allow yourself to breathe and to sense. Yeah? Because we have many beliefs and we cherish those beliefs. So we want to find out, why do we do that? What's right about that? Second question. Oh, first question, 10 minutes each. Second question, 10 minutes each. Tell me something you do know. Tell me something you do know. Yeah, and then also the answers, no clever answers like, yeah, I know French. Yeah, no, that's not what we mean. No, you want to be personal. So, well, I know that for me, it's a combination of fear and excitement to really be intimate and open with somebody. I know that. You want to be as real as possible and personal about what you know. I know that I have a deep longing to... I had this experience when I was 10 in which I felt amazingly expanded. And I want to know that. I want to know that again. Thank you. So let it be personal and real. And not like I want to know who makes the crop circles or things like that. Yeah, make it personal. The third question is 15 minutes, but for the two of you together, it's a loop. Yeah, so it means A asks B and then B asks A, etc. Tell me something you would like to know. Tell me something you would like to know. Something you really would love to know. What is it that you would love to know? What you would like to know? And again, allow yourself to let the answers come from you being present and sensing. There's no right answers. There's no wrong answers. This is an opportunity to inquire, to find out new things. Okay? We'll be back here in an hour. With one partner, yeah. Yeah, one partner.